Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Gamecast. I'm your host, Martin. We are joined tonight by Sydney.
Hello.
And we're going to discuss the Mavericks 115-98 victory over the Brooklyn Nets tonight. And I know, Sydney, this was kind of a mixed feelings or mixed emotions for you during this game. What are your thoughts? How do you feel? Let it out.
You know, I'm like, I don't know how I feel about the game. I really do have mixed emotions because from a basketball point of view, it was a great game from the Mavericks. I mean, the Nets are without Durant and Kyrie, but you know, they still have James Harden and MVP, and they have other guys who
the Mavs did what they had to do.
Yeah. The Mavs played really great defense. They defended Harden really well. Luka had a great game. Kristaps had a great game. I thought Dorian had a great game. I mean, from a basketball perspective, this was a solid game from the Mavericks, and I'm really happy they won. I just, for me, the whole time I was watching it, it was like there was a cloud hanging over it, and I don't know how I feel about the offense and posting up Kristaps on, like, literally every single play. And like, look, I don't have anything against getting the ball to Kristaps. We've talked about how he could be a bigger part of the offense. So it's not that. It's just that this sudden shift.
The timing of it.
Yeah, it's this sudden shift in philosophy where I know, like, Carlisle has been very outspoken about how he does not like posting up. He doesn't think it's efficient. And they haven't done it the whole season. And so to suddenly shift, it was really weird. I felt like there was something else behind that. And then in the game, a few things that happened that everybody saw. They gave the ball to Kristaps on like almost every possession. And then there was like two straight possessions. Yeah, where Luka missed him or you know just didn't give him the ball because he wanted to do something else. And Kristaps was visibly like upset. It wasn't just like we're not imagining this. You could see it that he was upset. And then in the possession after that, you know, they all come down, they set up, and Kristaps, he gets the ball at the logo and shoots it. And it's like, and it was just sort of like a,
I'm going to shoot this.
Yeah, like
care.
He was either forcing a shot or he was upset or whatever. It just, and so it was that sort of thing hanging over it. You know, like Kristaps had a good game. And this was a good matchup for him because the Nets were really small. And so they could post him up 20 times in this game because they had no size. But it was just that hanging over it that I don't know how I feel about what I watched tonight.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have talked about the Porzingis body language with Luka for quite some time now. And no one's really jumped on the train with me, but I've been talking about it for a while.
Lately, especially after this game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been talking about it for a while. Mm-hmm. I've seen the subtle things that Porzingis does when Luka shoots a shot that Porzingis may think it was a bad shot or he should have swung it to him or whatever the case may be. I've seen it. Mm-hmm. It got put out there on national television, and I'm so glad Van Gundy did that.
Yeah.
Because now it's kind of, all the pieces are kind of coming together.
Yeah.
With the whole situation. And really what it comes down to is Porzingis isn't happy with his role. And you can tell that is the case. Mm-hmm. Because after all the trade rumors that come out, what do the Mavs do in the very next game? They go to him.
They force him the ball.
Yes, and there was either two reasons to that. Mm-hmm. Either one, they're showcasing him for another team, or two, this was a way to, maybe he demanded the trade. He wanted the trade, and to alleviate that, part of keeping him would be giving him the ball more in the post.
Yeah.
Now, I can see the other side of the spectrum from Porzingis' side. Now, those two where he got upset, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
No excuse. You're not going to get the ball every single time. Yeah. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, you're not going to get it every single time.
But what do we see sometimes with the Mavericks is we'll watch Trey Burke or Josh Richardson or Tim Hardaway Jr. They're running the offense through those guys. Whereas Porzingis, they never
do that. Yeah.
They never run the offense through him. And we're like, why are we running the offense through Tim Hardaway?
Because Carlisle likes small
he
guards.
He loves guards.
He loves small playmaking guards.
And so for Porzingis, he's got to be watching that. Like, why are we coming down here? We're not getting buckets. We're running the offense through Trey Burke. why? Like, I'm here. And so I can understand his perspective. Carlisle's not a good coach for Porzingis, I don't think.
Yeah.
But that being said, you got to be a professional.
Yeah.
And you can't be frustrated because Luka didn't pass you the ball, man. Like, I was saying, you would never see Klay Thompson ever show that kind of frustration if Curry missed him. Or you would never see Scottie Pippen if Jordan didn't pass in the ball, or Terry if Dirk didn't pass in the ball, or whoever.
Yeah.
Porzingis has got to recognize he's the second guy. Luka's the first guy. Yeah. And sometimes Luka, he's going to feel like he's got an angle, mm-hmm. or he's got his guy on his heels, and he's not going to pass you the ball. And you know what? He has the freedom to do that.
Well, and especially in this game, which, okay, just first of all, I do want to say, I feel like we should break down the game, but I just, this is just what's on my mind, so it's what I want to talk about. Yeah. But yeah, especially in this game, when they were giving it to Kristaps on like literally every single possession, and then they missed, and then like anytime they missed him, just one possession when they missed him, his body language was so overt. Mm-hmm. You could tell that he was frustrated. And it's like, bro, you're not going to get it every single time. And so like what you were talking about with how he could be more involved in the offense instead of like running it through Trey Burke, totally valid. And if he's frustrated, I get that. But it's just the making it so apparent.
Yes.
That,
well, and there's a caveat to that.
Yeah.
He doesn't make it consistently. Like, he made his shots tonight.
Because he had five footers guarding him.
He was efficient tonight, but we've seen so many games
where
we try to run the post through him, and it's, he loses the ball, somebody strips it right out of his hands, he tries to get a foul call, it doesn't get called.
He just doesn't make the
and
shot.
And it's not effective. So you can see why the Mavericks had gone away from that, because there had been no proof this whole time we've had him that was effective. Like, if you were Dirk, then you would get the ball, because Dirk shot over 50% from the floor.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's just, there's a caveat to it. Like, if you want the ball, you want to get more opportunities, you have to consistently deliver.
Yeah, I mean, Luka does this game in and game out. Yep. Every night he does this. And so he gets that freedom. And for Kristaps, he doesn't do this every game. And maybe it's the injury. Whatever the reason is, there might be a fair reason. But the fact is that he doesn't do it every game. He hasn't been great in the post. And so, it just hasn't been a great... And so tonight, when he had these smaller guys on him, because the Nets had no size, it worked great. But if hypothetically, or not hypothetically, theoretically, if he had made those demands or whatever, that he wants it more, then it's like, okay, well, you got to show out every game.
Every
not
game.
Just when you have Landry Shamet guarding you.
No,
or Josh, or
Jeff Green.
Jeff Green,
No, you're 100% right. And there's been too many games, especially against big-time opponents, big games, where you need your stars to step up. And he's failed to do so.
Yeah.
And so, again, I understand why the Mavericks have gone away with it. They know they can't have Luka make every single play. Even though the other playmakers they have suck.
Yeah.
they can't do it every single time.
Yeah.
And they've tried through Porzingis in the past, and he just doesn't do it consistently enough. And so they've gone away from it.
Yeah.
And it's just all been kind of boiling over. And you saw that in this game. Like, he hadn't even played in a week and a half or 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah. It was just a really... Like I said, I don't know how I feel about it. And it's funny because just earlier today, we were talking about Kristaps' practice or post-practice or whatever interview where he was talking about his back and stuff. And we felt really bad for him because
he seemed really dejected.
Yeah, he looked defeated and depressed of like these injuries again. And he just can't get to himself or find himself. And so I feel really bad for him. But then on the other hand, things like this happen where he shows that visible frustration after missing him on one play, you know, or it's just... I don't know how to feel about him, about the situation, and I'm fine with getting him involved. I'm fine if he has a great game. I don't care. It's not about that I think he'll take away from Luke or whatever. It's just that I don't like the underlying tones that I think are coming with it. I could be totally wrong, but I don't think...
What more evidence do you need?
Yeah, it's like a cloud hanging over it, and I don't know, it makes me uneasy.
Well, look, in that one particular play in the first half where Porzingis was almost at half court, so I don't know what he was demanding the ball for anyways.
Oh, when he wanted it from Luka?
Yeah. So Luka had the ball right at the top top.
He was at the three-point line.
Yeah, and Porzingis was a couple feet behind the three-point line, was saying, pass me the ball, pass me the ball.
Like, what are you going to do?
And Luka's like, no, come set a screen, come set a screen. And it's like, look, that's Luka.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Luka shouldn't have to be worried about whether you're going to be happy or not with his decision. Luka's got to feel free to just make his decisions and not worry about you. And the for you to show the visible frustration, it's a little ridiculous and it's a little childish.
That's the part that, like, it just bothers me, is that what it looks like, what's going on behind the scenes, it kind of, it worries me a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, Kristaps had a great game and he made these shots, and if he does that going forward, then great. I mean, like, obviously, it would be awesome if he turned into that second guy. So, it, you know, it's nothing personal. It's just that, I don't know, I have an uneasy feeling about what's going on.
Yeah, well, and like I said, it's easier because he played well and the Mavericks won.
Yeah.
But had they continued to give him the ball in the post and he did not play well, and it's like we continue to do it, and he continues to not shoot the ball well, it's like, what are you – you can't demand the ball and not deliver.
Yeah, and, well, or sorry, continue.
Yeah, see, I would say the bigger improvement I saw from him was on the defensive end. He actually looked engaged. Like, we can sit here and talk about he can't move, he doesn't have that lateral quickness, blah, blah, blah. I saw that he did, and it looks like he just hasn't been doing that. Because tonight, he was engaged, he was active, he was moving, he was a defensive force, and he hasn't done that really consistently all season.
He had three blocks.
Yeah.
Do you...
go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Is it just me, or does it... Do the Nets not run as many pick and rolls? They set a lot of picks, but they don't do a lot of pick and roll.
Well, they did, but they didn't. So the way the Mavericks countered that is they put Porzingis on Bruce Brown.
Okay.
And so the guy setting the screen was Jeff Green, but Jeff Green had Maxey on him, and that's why Maxey kept getting switched on James Harden.
Is his name Bruce Brown or Sterling Brown?
Sterling Brown, Bruce Brown. One of the Browns.
I have the box score right. Anyway, okay.
Yeah, and so...
It's Bruce Brown.
Yeah, and so Porzingis was guarding him, and Bruce Brown wasn't setting the screen, and the Nets didn't counter by having him set the screen. So, you know, that helped a lot. But even when Porzingis did get stuck in some pick-and-roll possessions in this game, he looked noticeably better with his timing. He just looked more active. And I thought he got some really bad calls called against him the first half, where he really had great positioning and they still called a foul and it just wasn't a foul. But you can see that he has the ability if he's trying hard.
Yeah, I think that he's always been really good in like the paint protector kind of thing of getting those blocks and stuff. It's the pick and roll that he's really struggled. And like you said tonight, they made a good adjustment. So, you know, maybe it is effort, or maybe it was just a good matchup for Kristaps.
Yes, but also if Durant's playing, you can't do that.
Yeah,
so
true.
Porzingis has to guard the center.
In which case, it was a good matchup for Kristaps.
Yeah, it was. And it was
offensively and defensively.
So, and I think honestly, that's probably why he played tonight and not Philadelphia. I know Carlisle said we want to get a full practice in it, but really he didn't want him going against Embiid and Ben Simmons pick and roll with Simmons and Embiid. It just didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah, so all of this is kind of connected to the trade rumors. And I think at this point it's pretty obvious the trade rumors are totally true. Just based on, you know, like interviews from Kristaps when he kind of talked about it, the body language that we see, different things that people have. And now it's come from multiple sources, like different people are making these reports. This game was just really weird and sketchy. To me, it seems obvious that those trade rumors are totally legit. That doesn't mean that he's going to be traded, but it's just another thing where it's just kind of hanging over everything. Yeah. And you know, so it was they won, but I feel uneasy about
it. Yeah, I mean, it was a great win.
Yeah.
Like, I know Brooklyn was out, Irving and Durant.
Yeah.
I don't care. The fact is, we had to win that game.
Yeah.
And to win it the way we did, to me, just, it continues to give me confidence that the Mavericks have turned the corner from what they did when they started 9-13 or whatever, or 9-14. Or maybe it was as bad as 9-15.
Yeah, I think it was worse than that.
Yeah, but they've turned the corner.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is consistent. You're not going to win every game, but you're winning more than you're losing. And if they can win these last two games going into the break, it's against opponents that really are winnable against.
Yeah, true.
Then you can go into the break two games over 500. And after all of the stuff that you had gone through with COVID and injuries and the schedule that you played, and you were two games over 500, you really have to be really happy with that as a Mavs fan. And this game was great. And Luka was great. Porzingis was great. This was the blueprint. This was the Mavs blueprint on how they want to win.
I don't know if this is the blueprint on how Luka and Kristaps should play together, because it's basically just them taking turns.
It's more the blueprint of both of your stars played well on a nationally televised game, in a game you had to win.
But, like, let's be honest about Kristaps. They gave him the ball, like, every single time, every single possession, and he finished with 18 points and 4 rebounds. Okay, so, like, I'm being fair about Kristaps, because I honestly don't know how I feel about him.
He didn't play the entire fourth quarter.
True, but
I think he only played, what, 24 minutes?
He played 25 minutes.
25 minutes.
26 minutes. Yeah. I have bad eyes. Yeah, I mean, which is totally true, but still, he had 18 points and 4 rebounds, and they were giving it to him pretty much every single time, and 2 assists. So it's not like when he wasn't shooting. I mean, he did make some good passes out of the post, but I don't know. I mean,
I think you're right in your frustrations with the way everything had transpired. Mm-hmm. But to be fair to Porzingis, he did actually play well.
He did play well.
But that's not the point.
Yeah. No, the point is like,
there is an underlying problem between Luka and Porzingis. Yeah.
And again, like, you know, my other statement, like, this isn't, I don't think this is the blueprint for how Luka and Kristaps should play together, because, like I said, they're basically just taking turns. And that's never a great way, I think, for stars to play together. It can work, but the best way is when they play off of each other.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I thought, when Porzingis is playing like this, then I think it's okay to give him the ball in the post. Mm-hmm. The problem I had with it is all of a sudden we're doing that, even though he has proven no ability to do this. And the further problem I have with it is they're going to try to get in the next game, and he's probably going to fail because he hasn't done this consistently. But if he is this good when he gets the ball down there, then I'm really happy with giving him the ball more, because he can be efficient. He can get good shots and he can make plays for others, but he just doesn't do it consistently.
What if every game looks like this, where they posted up Kristaps, and, like, I'm not exaggerating, every single possession. What if every game looks like that? Like, what would you think about their chances of winning? How do you like that offense?
If he's playing well, then it's going to work. But he has to be the star that we brought him over for.
Yeah.
He's got to shoot efficiently. That's the point. Like, when you're getting the ball in the post, you have to shoot efficiently in order for that to be a good play.
If you're
going to
get that many. Well, okay. Yeah. That's true.
You have to make good plays. And what have we seen from him in the past is turnovers, bad passes, the ball getting ripped right out of his hands, or just flat out a bad shot.
Yeah, I mean, he's shooting this year, which this probably doesn't include tonight, he's shooting 46% from the post, which is pretty low. I mean, like, for example, Anthony Davis shoots 53%. Giannis shoots 55%. Like, 46% is not very efficient from the post.
Well, and it's once your two-point shot goes, and it's not even the shots. Like, he loses the ball a lot. A lot of turnovers.
Yeah, 6.3% of those possessions result in a turnover.
Yeah. So now you're shooting a low percentage. You have a high turnover rate. It's like, it's just a culmination of bad play. And then the ones he doesn't get a shot off of, because he dribbled, moved, didn't actually shoot, wasted 10 seconds of the shot clock or 15 seconds of the shot clock, and then passes it around, the play is dead.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not just the shooting percentage. It's just all these things. But again, if he's efficient and he plays like this every single game, then this Mavs team would be contenders in a couple of years, because they have two guys. But he has not done this. And I just think that we're going to continue to try to do this. And you know, maybe he'll do it. I don't know. But I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I mean, like, if he's fixed, like, if something over this layoff and the back thing, and if he's fixed now and he's super efficient in the post, which another thing, if I think he's better in the post when he faces up, which is what he did tonight. He didn't do a lot of back downs, turnaround fadeaways. He faced up, which is obviously he had short guys on him, so it makes sense. If he does that, he's better in the post. But yeah, if he does this every game, then of course it's great. But one, he hasn't done it every game, so I mean, it's fair to say that. And then two, I don't know if I want to do it this many times in a game.
Well, look, I mean, Luka still got his points. Luka really would have had over 30 points if he made his free throws.
Yeah, I mean, Luka finished with like 27 points. Yeah.
And so to me, what Porzingis does not take away from Luka. Luka's going to get his no matter what. He's just that kind of player. So if you, though, instead of having to go to Burke or Hardaway, you can go to Porzingis, and he can make an efficient, effective play for you.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of having two stars.
True.
So when Luka's getting double teamed or when Ben Simmons is wrapped all over him, you have somebody else that you can go to, but he just hasn't done it. And in this game, you've seen that he can show flashes of it, but he never consistently does it. But again, none of that is really relevant.
It's not
the problem
even
is
really about
there is
that.
Some serious, deep-rooted issues with that relationship between Luka and Porzingis. And we talked about it for all season, how they never had chemistry on the court.
Yeah, I almost think it's more Kristaps and Carlisle.
Well, it's probably
both.
Because it's
the offense that Carlisle creates. But yeah, I mean, it's like, I feel like we're beating a dead horse. I mean, it's basically just, I feel like there's a cloud hanging over everything and it makes me feel uneasy.
It is. I mean, we can't even enjoy a big win on the road. Because
it
of
was
the whole
a big
situation.
Win.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I thought they were going to lose. Like, when they lost, they got back to 500 and then they lost to Philly. And then I was like, crap,
there
they got
go.
A game against the Nets. They're going to
lose
again. And so, you know, which is fair. I mean, to lose to the Nets in Philadelphia is fine. They are better than the Mavericks this year. So, but still, it sucked because I was like, man. And so to win against the Nets, whatever with the guys being out doesn't matter. I just like that they won. So, yeah, I mean, it was a really great win. It's just, you know, all the
And I'd like to sit here and analyze the game. Like, I thought the officials were a little bit soft on the calls for Brooklyn in the first
Scott
half.
Scott Foster.
Yeah. and it's just, I wish Luka would get, like, I know Luka gets calls. I'm not saying Luka doesn't get calls. He does. But Luka gets hounded sometimes, and they don't call it. And then whereas on the other side, sometimes a guy will nick him with his pinky, and they call a foul. It's like, I wish Luka would get some of those calls.
Yeah, I thought Dorian had a good game. He finished with 12 points, but I thought he was really, like, springy and energetic. He was all over the boards. I mean, he finished with 8 rebounds.
The Mavs really
played 2 steals and a block.
They played hard.
Yeah.
And they played hard on the defensive end of the court. They were committed to defense the entire game. And I don't remember any lapses. Obviously, a team's going to score.
Yeah.
But they held him under 100 points to a team that's been averaging. Now, I know Kyrie was out,
but Harden is
still
an MVP.
Yes. So I thought the Mavericks were really committed on the defensive end. I thought Porzingis was committed. I thought Luka's defense in this game didn't get any credit, but he had 3 noticeable defensive stops on his own. And I thought they played well. And like I said, they're now at 500. They have, I think, Orlando and Oklahoma City. So they could win those next 2 games and be 2 games over 500 going into the All-Star break. The whole feeling of the team, especially when they trade Porzingis for Bradley Beal.
Wow. Yeah, I one thing that I've noticed this year, I mean, aside from this stretch where everybody was out and I feel like they all kind of just died inside and stopped caring about basketball, which is like, whatever. Outside of that, I feel like they have been a little better at winning ugly games this season. There has been a lot of times last year and just for several seasons where when it got to a certain point in like of a deficit, it was just like, this is over. Like they didn't fight back from those kinds of things. And obviously tonight they didn't have to fight back from anything, but just being able to grind out games, to come into, you know, Brooklyn, they were out there, guys, the Nets were, I mean, it was a close game for a lot of it. And they just, you know, they kept their foot on the gas. They grounded.
They grounded.
They grounded. I think they grinded. They fought through everything.
It was a grind.
It was a grind, and they did it. And so I do feel like they've been better at that this year. So, but yeah, I thought Dorian tonight, I don't know, he just looked different. He looked really good.
Well, Joe Harris, that was the guy that I was afraid of going into this game. Yeah. Because especially with Irving being out, I was like, Harris is going to go off for 30. He was held to 9 points.
Yeah.
And like I said, the Mavericks defensively in this game were committed. Mm-hmm. And every single one of them. And like I said, I think they have turned the corner from that Mavericks team that was really struggling early on in the season with all the injuries and with that terrible schedule. They've now won 7 out of their last 9, 7 out of their last 10, really, if you count the loss yesterday. Mm. Regardless, they've won a lot more than they've been losing.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. You know, hopefully they can patch things up with Porzingis. He can go back to being bubble Porzingis and we can forget all the stuff ever happened.
Yeah, you're talking about Joe Harris. He got off a few open shots because they were like dropping on those screens. I don't know why, but they made a good adjustment and then that kind of shut him down. I think Carlisle has done a lot of coaching lately.
Mm-hmm.
To start the season, the first month or so, I don't know, maybe a couple months. Yeah, it was like he didn't really do anything. Not that he literally didn't do anything. I know he's doing his job, but
he's doing too much.
Yeah, there just wasn't a lot of adjustments or things going on. It was like he was just kind of doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. But in the past month or so, it's just been a lot of adjustments, a lot of creative defenses, a lot of changes. He's really doing a lot of coaching in the right way, and
My only problem with Carlisle is he sticks with something that isn't working for too long.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wish he was just quicker with changes and adjustments. Yeah. In-game adjustments, he's pretty good at.
Mm-hmm.
But seasonal adjustments, now when he finally does make his adjustment, it seems to work out.
Yeah.
But it just takes months in order to what everybody else is saying, like, yeah, is we obvious. All
see it.
Like, why is Powell starting?
Yeah.
And
now he's the
garbage. He never doesn't even play, you know. So I don't know. Again, it was a good win. The Mavericks are on their way up. Porzingis played well. Luka played well. It just kind of remains to be seen what's going to happen with this team over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's a lot of just these question marks, you know, like I think it's clear the trade rumors were real. Were they close to a trade and then it didn't work out? And is that why Porzingis is back now? I think if he was sitting because they were trying to trade him, then he's got to be in on that, mm-hmm. because they're not telling him, like, hey, your back is sore, you're not going to play. Like, he's obviously in on that decision to sit him while they try to get a trade, which I think, again, like, I think the trade rumors were real. So it's like, is he going to be traded? Did that all fall through? Is he now making demand? It's just like there's so much that we don't know. And so it's tough to kind of just enjoy the games.
Yeah.
But it was a good game.
Yeah, it was. So another thing I thought was awesome is they didn't blow the lead and it turned into a nail biter at the end.
Now, yeah, well, that's because Nash called it with 8 minutes left.
One thing that helped was that Nash, you know what? It's because Nash is a player and he played recently. But you know what? It's like there were times when you're a player and the other team just has it going and mm-hmm. the game's over. Like, I know there's 8 minutes left, but it's over.
Yeah.
And like, you know, coaches are like, we're going to play till the last minute. It's like, he's like, nah, it's over. It's their night tonight. We'll live to fight another day.
I guess. I feel like they could have come back with the way that Harden shoots threes and Joe Harris and, you know.
With the way the Mavs give up leads.
Yeah,
like if that any, too. If any team you're going to continue to try,
it would be the Mavs.
It would have been Dallas. And he was like, nah, it ain't worth it.
Yeah, he called it quick. And mm-hmm. even the broadcast Thankfully, crew yeah. was like, geez, I mean, this game isn't over. And so, yeah, then like two possessions later, Carlisle called it. He called a timeout and put all his garbage guys in. And it was like, okay, I guess we're done now. There's still like 5 minutes left. Anyway, good game.
So that's the game.
Good hustle. Good
tonight,
effort.
The Mavericks play Monday on the road against Orlando. It's a 6 o'clock start time, which is nice. So we can have an early post-game show. And then on Wednesday, they face the Thunder at home. And the Thunder are 14-20 right now. Now, Thunder have won some nice games this year.
Mm-hmm.
You can't dismiss either one of these teams. The Mavs just aren't good enough to dismiss either one of them. I would really like for them to win both of these games.
Yeah, we'll get a look at Al Horford and George Hill, who I know you're excited about.
I mean,
about.
I'm done on them now. Like, it wouldn't make any sense for the Mavs to do it now. Now that they're really officially out of the whole contention piece, it doesn't make any sense to, you know, get that salary.
Oh, you think that's like a win now move?
I thought they should have done it early in the season. Oh, okay. Yeah, when you still had a chance.
Okay.
But because they didn't do that, their record got so out of hand, there's no point in doing it now. You're not winning with this team.
Yeah.
So,
if we're done, can I plug a few things?
Yes, please. I don't know what that means.
Like, anyway.
Plug it.
Yeah. So just a couple of things on the website, DallasHoopsCast.com. There's a full schedule breakdown. So the second half of the Mavericks schedule was released. I did a full schedule breakdown with all the key numbers, back-to-backs, key stretches, average opponent record. There's also a cool infographic. So check that out. And then again, I'm going to mention there's an article on if Andre Drummond is a good fit for the Mavs. I know a lot of Mavs fans are into him, so that article has good info. And thank you.
Is that all the plugs?
Yes.
Okay, guys, thank you very much for joining us tonight. We'll see you after the Orlando Magic game on Monday.
Thanks for listening. Bye. My buys mean more than your buys. Wow.